All right, tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 1. 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 1.
1 Kings 18, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria." Drop down with me, if you will, to verse 17. Verse 17 says this, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, once again thanking you for the privilege of gathering together, and Lord, calling upon you to open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, may you be pleased to open up our understanding, give us more of your grace and mercy and wisdom, Lord, that we might walk in your ways. We ask your blessing on Northwood Baptist Church. May you allow us, Lord, to follow you faithfully, and that we might see souls saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory, and that you would be pleased to use each and every one of us in sharing the great gospel message. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is "The Word of the Lord Came to Elijah." And that's important. We need the Word of the Lord to direct our lives. And so when it says it comes to Elijah, it directed him, didn't it? It gave him wisdom. It gave him understanding. And God is wanting to give us wisdom and understanding as well. And the Lord knows the battle better than we do, does he not? He knows what we're up against. And yet he says that we are victors in him. I want to back up here just a little bit here, and we're going to look at three, possibly four thoughts tonight, and that is the Lord's protection of his prophet and his people, and also the unjust accusation that was made upon him. And then we find Elijah's bold answer, and also we'll see Elijah's unseen power. And so God, and that's the Lord, of course, obviously. By the way, he's our power also, and he's also our answer that we can give to a dark and dying world. And so what I want to do is just kind of back up, and I want you to see the protection that God had given to Elijah. By the way, it's the same protection that he gives to each and every one of us today. God is not wanting us to fail, but to succeed for his honor and glory. And he protects us. He orchestrates. He allows everything. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He is the enemy, the roaring lion that's seeking to devour and to destroy the Lord's people. But only things happen. The only things that God allows to happen are the things that he allows, if you will, right? And everything that happens is by his authority. And I want to back you up here to chapter 17 here just for a moment. And I want you to see what the Lord was doing. And by the way, Ahab is not a happy individual with Elijah, and he would have him done in. He was the one that was falsely accusing him as the troubler of Israel. But Elijah pointed it right back to him and says, "You're the one that has forsaken the way of the Lord, and you're the one that's brought this famine and have brought this because of what you've allowed in Israel." Look with me, if you will, verse 1 of chapter 17. And it says, "Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now, this is what God had given to him to communicate to Ahab, and he communicated the lesson. But now you have to stop and think about this now. He is proclaiming the curse of God on the people of God, on Israel, and he's also included in that. But I want you to know that in spite of what God is doing as far as judgment goes, God protects his people that are seeking him and wanting to walk faithfully with him. Look at verse 2. "And the word of the Lord came unto him," speaking of Elijah, "saying, Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the rock of the brook," I'm sorry, "and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he says, I've got a specific place for you to be. And if you'll follow my direction, you will be provided for. You know, every one of our steps are ordered and ordained of the Lord. God wants us to walk after him. And he says, if you will walk in my ways, he says, I will see to it that you will have good success. That's God's promise. If you will honor me, I will show myself strong for my glory in your life. And so that's what God wants us to understand. In spite of what the world is doing, we should have confidence in our God who is almighty and all powerful over the world. Amen. The world cannot do anything. Satan can't do anything to defeat us if we'll just walk faithfully with the Lord. So he tells him, this is the place I want you to be. Notice verse 5. He says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and fish in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now, I want you to stop here just for a moment. The Lord told him, you will be taken care of if you'll be in this particular place, and the Lord provided for him in a miraculous way. I mean, who's ever been fed like that, right? And so the Lord was taking care of him, and the Lord can provide even when it seems to be impossible, right? We've seen it many times in the Word of God, and again, we're reminded that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he will continue. He will never change, amen? And he will continue to be faithful because that is who he is, amen? He will continue to be merciful. He will continue to be a loving God because that's who he is. And so what happens here? The ravens did bring him flesh in the morning and bring him bread and flesh in the evening. And then it says here in verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. But God had not forgotten his prophet. Amen. And God never forgets his children. He is always, listen, he is always concerned. In fact, the Bible says that innumerable are the thoughts of God towards his people. Isn't that amazing? God thinks about us all the time. And I'm amazed, who are we really that God would think so much about us? But really, it's who God is, and he is a God of love. That he, listen, even when we forget the Lord, he will never forget us. Isn't that amazing? We can get caught up, we can get wrapped up in things, and we can forget the Lord, and God will never forget you and I. And then notice verse 8 here. It says, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee, right? So he says, I'm going to take care of you there. I haven't forgotten you. And so you have to imagine how this took place. I mean, every day that Elijah went to that brook, no doubt there was a time where he was seeing it becoming less and less, right? Until finally there was nothing there. And he still had confidence. He still had faith in his God. By the way, it's not because of how great Elijah was, but it was because of the great faithfulness that God instills in our hearts. We need to call upon the Lord. Lord, convince my heart of your great faithfulness. Convince my heart of your great grace. And that requires humility. That requires a heart that says, you know what, Lord, I am absolutely nothing without you. Lord, I don't want to walk according to my understanding, but according to your understanding, right? Because you know everything. I am limited. I am finite. And I don't have the understanding that you have. And so, Lord, I need you to work in my heart, in my mind, that I would not turn to the left or to the right, but that I would follow you in every commandment and in every word that you have given me to walk in. So he says, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Drop down to verse 10. So what does he do? So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. The widow woman, not just any widow woman, but the one. And how did he know that? God led him to the one and confirmed in his heart that she was the one, right? There was one widow woman that God wanted him to engage with and to understand that God was going to provide for them, for all of them. But here's the thing. She didn't know that. And he didn't know who she was. But how did they meet? God made it come to pass. God is the one that orchestrates everything in our lives to bring his name, honor, and glory, because he knows everything from the very beginning, doesn't he? He knows exactly how everything's going to play out. There is nothing that ever catches God. Never has God said, well, that's an interesting thought, right? Isn't that amazing? God says, well, that's a new idea. No, everything God knows already, and even though we are learning things, these are old things for the Lord. We're coming with all these breakthroughs. God knows not only more than what we know, but he knows more than we'll ever know. Isn't that amazing? Let's fathom this thought. Even in eternity, God will be showing, we'll never get to the end of God. Wow, isn't that amazing? We will never get to the end of the Lord. And so God had given him this faith. And by the way, he'll give us the same faith. And so there's the widow woman. And notice she was gathering there in verse 10. She was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Now, Elijah didn't know everything that was going on, but he did know this, that God was going to use her to provide for him. And God was leading him to tell her what he should do, right, and what she should do. And so he's asking her. And by the way, you would think if you saw this widow woman, and no doubt she looked like she was poverty stricken. She didn't have much. And she, you know, things weren't looking good. But yet the Lord gave him the direction to ask her to take care of him. Now, see, God wants us to have humility, but he also wants us to have boldness as well, because sometimes things don't look right. Sometimes things might make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but listen, if I saw a woman there and she looked like she was going to have her last meal, which is what it was, right? And the Lord said, "You need to ask this widow woman to bring you a morsel of bread." You should do that in spite of what you might think or what you might feel. You have to be bold and say, you know what, I'm going to follow the Lord's direction, even though it might feel a little bit uncomfortable. And that's important, because God wants us to be faithful in the little things before he will trust us with the bigger things. That's a biblical principle. And likewise also, he has called us to be witnesses. And sometimes that might feel a little bit uncomfortable. You might feel, I will tell you this, there's been many times that I thought, this person has the potential of blowing me out of the water, in a sense of being, you know, rejecting and of the gospel witness. Many times I thought that, and I will tell you, more times than not, they were receptive and surprisingly kind and appreciative and had given me the opportunity to share the gospel message. And for them to you know, maybe they didn't get saved right there, but they said they would certainly consider it and they would read the tract that was given to them. You know, that's a success in my heart, in my mind, because they were open to the gospel. And you and I never know what will come of that until eternity, especially if they don't live where we're by. Listen, I will hand out our tracts that are from Columbia, Missouri, everywhere I go. Because the gospel message, the gift of eternal life, is in that track. And that's what we are communicating to them. You just never know. And again, I've mentioned it before. People have been saved by tracks, and we may never hear of it until we get to eternity. But God's word does not return void. Is that true? So, and by the way, you never know. I've heard many people say at different times, you know, I hit a place in my life. Somebody gave me a track and I put it down on my dresser. And it was maybe who knows how long later that I thought, you know what, I'll take a look at that. And God would work in their lives. And so, what does it say here? He says, "Fetch me," in verse 10 there, towards the middle, towards the bottom there, "I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Now it's getting a little bit taxing, right? The water was okay, but the bread was taking her to another level. And notice what she says here in verse 12. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth." And by the way, how did she know he was a prophet? Right? How did she know? No doubt she understood that God was working in that situation. However she knew, she respected him for that. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Did you get that? This is our last meal, is what she's saying. I don't have any more. Now, she didn't say, I would not do it for you, but she's just saying, I want you to know where I'm at. I'm at the end here. And so what does he say? Verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. Don't look at your situation or your circumstance. Look to the Lord. And so he is a prophet of the Lord. He's being directed by the Lord. And by the way, does he have confidence that God can provide in a difficult situation or what would be an impossible situation? Was he not just fed by the ravens? Did he not just see a miracle really take place, a provision of God that he could not do for himself? By the way, which is what's getting ready to happen again, another provision of God's great faithfulness that she could not have provided for herself, nor Elijah, by the way. See, God is wanting to provide for you and I things that we can't provide for ourselves. You and I cannot provide for ourselves a holy life. We don't have it. But there is a God in heaven that does. And there is a Savior, a loving Savior, that has given to us His Holy Spirit that wants to give us more of His mercy and grace in our lives that we might walk honorably before our God in His power and strength. That's God's will. But we have to have trust that He is able. He is the enabler. He's the one that can do it. So she says, hey, listen, I'm at the end here. And then he says here, verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Listen to this. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now, we've got to fight the physical realm because she's still looking at a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal there. And she's going to have to trust the Lord to use it. And by the way, I don't know that because she was faithful that he overloaded that. I think it was still kind of a daily provision. Amen. Give us this day what? Our yearly food or our daily bread, right? We provide for our sustenance for what we need today. And by the way, that causes us to become dependent on the Lord, to call on him how often? Every day. Every day. Lord, I need you in my life every day. It's so important, Lord, that you guide me because I'm just one step away from doing things my own way. And so the word of the Lord came to her. And notice what she does here in verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She followed the Lord's prescription. And she and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which Elijah spake. Now, I'm not going to get into this next account here of what happened in her life, but I do want us to get now to the crux of the message tonight, and that is that the word of the Lord comes again to Elijah that he might follow, and now he's going to confront Ahab, the wicked king. And by the way, this wicked king would have liked to have done him in. That's what he wanted to do. He would be rid of him because the darkness is always wanting to get rid of the light because of the wicked deeds that are being done, and they don't want the correction. What do they try to do? When the people of God stand up, you know, in our country, we have the freedom of religion. And yet they proclaim a fallacy, separation of church and state. That is not in the Constitution. That is a letter written by Jefferson to the Danbury Baptists. That is not, but they will proclaim it and they will preach it like it's the truth. Oh no, listen, if you look at our history, it was men of faith that were the majority of the people that built the foundation of why our country it was blessed by the Lord and is being blessed still. Isn't that amazing? And so God does not want us to be fearful. There will be opposition, but God wants us to stand, and we won't stand. We'll be fearful to stand because we're not proving the Lord on a daily basis that he is faithful. So what happens here in the life of Elijah? And by the way, Elijah was not a perfect individual, so we're in good company, aren't we? Verse 1 of chapter 18, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Isn't God so good to give all the details? This is the purpose. I want you to go. There's going to be rain. And Elijah went and showed himself unto Ahab. to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. So God is wanting us to understand that things are not good. I mean, things are pretty bad. How bad? Verse 3, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, but he wasn't standing for the Lord. Not at this present time. He did stand, but he may, I don't know if it was for convenience sake or the benefits of living in the king's palace, but notice, here's his faithfulness to the Lord. Verse 4, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Good thing. He was faithful to the Lord. He did the right thing. And Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water, unto all brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they're in a predicament, aren't they? And so what happens here? Verse 6, so they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? Isn't that amazing? And he's falling on his face. He has a reverence for the Lord. Just because we have a reverence for the Lord does not mean that we are walking upright by the Lord. Doesn't mean that we are surrendered to the Lord. Doesn't mean that we're trusting God faithfully to the Lord in all of our actions. Now, but we see the mercy of the Lord, because the Lord always gives opportunities for us to walk upright. Verse 8, and he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, which is Ahab, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned, this is Obadiah, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? So notice his concern. He'll kill me. Ahab will kill me. Look at verse 10. As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. Is he looking for Elijah? Is Ahab looking for Elijah? Absolutely. He's seeking him out. And they said, he is not here. He took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, look what's in his mind. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whether I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. So the Lord is going to help out Obadiah here. He wants him to do the right thing. Is he fearful? Absolutely, he's fearful. He just laid it out. He's fearful. Does God want to help him with his fear? Absolutely, he does. He still wants to use him. Look at the mercy and grace of God for his people. Those who have walked with him, he wants them to continue walking and to encourage them in that. But here's the thing. He's looking in the past of what he did, instead of what God wants him to do. We can't live on our past victories. We can't live in what we used to do for the Lord. We need to be living on what God is wanting us to do today and every day until we see him. And so, look at verse 12 again. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whether I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord, Lord's prophets, by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. So what does he tell him? He says, verse 15, and Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So he gave him comfort and he gave him confidence. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. So he followed the Lord's way, didn't he? But he needed the encouragement. He needed the word of the Lord that came from Elijah to him and said, today I'm going to show myself to him. It's coming from the Lord. He says, you can mark it down. Today I will stand before him. And God, listen, God was working in Elijah's life to give him this boldness as well. You and I have no boldness on our own. We won't do it. We would like to think we will, but we won't do it unless God is working through us. So it's important for us to call upon the Lord to work in our lives, to be the witnesses He's called us to be. And it all begins with a humble walk. Lord, I need You that I might have Your Spirit and Your kindness to how many people? To all people. Lord, let me not walk in my own wisdom, because you know what my wisdom will do? My wisdom will judge others and be critical of others. Is that the Spirit of the Lord? No, it's not. And my spirit won't show mercy. And my spirit won't show what we want from God. Amen. But God's Spirit in me will show what we want from the Lord. Some people get it, get this holy, righteous indignation, and they don't understand that's not coming from the Lord. And they will stand and give an account if they don't have the Spirit, gentleness, the kindness, the fruits of the Spirit abundant in their life. And so now, again, we make mistakes and we sin and we fail the Lord. But know this, the Lord's arms are always open, are they not? Yes. They're always open to say, come, I want to show you my way. I want to show you my way. We looked at the disciples today. They went off track, didn't they? When they wanted to sit on one on one side and one on the other side. And then when the other ones had great indignation against the other two, was that of the Lord? No. Did God bring them back around to the right way? Absolutely. And then he provided, look at the manifold wisdom of God. And then he had these two blind men. They watched these disciples. The other multitudes came by, and the other multitudes, I didn't share it this morning, they were the ones that were telling them to be quiet. Not the disciples, but the multitude were telling them, be quiet. He's too much of an important, busy person. You don't bother him. And they didn't care. The Lord was working in their lives also to cry out, I need you, God. We need you. We need sight from you. And the Lord stood still. And he blessed them. And the disciples were watching all of that. They were watching all of that. And God wants us to see his work as well in the lives of others and in our own life. So, what happens here in verse 17? Notice what it says here. And this is the Lord's protection to his prophet. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? That's a nice thing to say, isn't it? Look how the deflection takes place. You're the one that's caused all this problem. No, it was your sin against the Lord. Your disobedience against him, and God judged. And by the way, was Elijah provided for? Yes. Will you and I be provided for if we follow the Lord? Absolutely. And he'll give us this boldness to stand up even against this wicked king. Verse 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father. This would have been a perfect time for him. You know, Elijah could have had him killed. I'm sorry, Ahab could have had Elijah killed, could he not? He was king. He could have said, off with your head. He was the final authority. Elijah could have said, oh, listen, spare me, O king. He could have buckled and failed the Lord in fear for his life. But that's not what the Lord put in his heart, see? We need the boldness of the Lord to speak the truth when God wants us to speak the truth. We need the mercy and the love of God that we might speak it when God wants us to speak that. And so now he was wanting him to confront him. And he says again, verse 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, if you want to take it a little bit further, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, listen to this. Is he afraid of this king? He should be. He could have been. Now, he shouldn't be. He should be more confident in the Lord than fearful of this king. And he's got the confidence. Now therefore, because of what you've done, and God sent me here, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, notice 450, and the prophets of the grove 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you, ye, between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Isn't that amazing? Because all they saw was one man. That's all they saw. You know what they did not see? the God of that man. The God of that man was bigger than the whole universe. The God of that man was moving him to victory, because it's the Lord's victory. Do you know when we seek to honor the Lord, he will give us the victory, because he listen, fathom this thought. God has chosen to glorify himself in your life and mine. It is God's decision, it is God's will as a child of God that he would be glorified in our lives. As we would surrender to the Lord and call upon the Lord, God says, I'm going to show you things now because you want to see me in your life. You know that you need me. God has to bring us to that place to where we know we can't do anything without the Lord, but with him we can do what? All things with him, right? We can do all things with him. And so there's not any. Do you believe that? Or is that just a verse in the Bible? Can we not do all things with him who strengthens us? Who strengthens us? The Lord. The Lord. We don't have the strength in ourselves. He didn't say go in your might. He said go in mine. Because he knows we're limited. In fact, we're finite. We have no might to go against the things of the flesh in this world without him. And so, he says, if God be God, follow him. But they didn't answer him a word. And so as we consider this, we saw here just a moment ago an unjust accusation that Ahab said, you're the one that's troubling the people of God. You know, if you were to ask the world today, who are the troublemakers? There's your picture and my picture. They think we're the troublemakers. But what is it that really brings trouble on the earth? Sin and disobedience to the Lord. Who are the, if listen, what would happen if, well, what's going to happen when the rapture takes place and all of God's people are removed? Darkness, rampant sin, and the judgment of God. And at the same time, amazingly, God's going to turn his direction towards Israel and the people of God. Isn't that amazing? And God's going to work with them to bring them back. And so this is the time that God has given to us to stand boldly and upright and to follow him. And Elijah is saying, listen, I want you to know you are the one that's troubled Israel, and because of your sin and your neglect of the things that are right. And so where's his confidence coming from? The Lord, look at verse 19 again. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which did eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent, listen to this, so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. He's following what Elijah told him to do. Where did that come from? The Lord. It came from the Lord. Where's his power coming from? It's coming from God. And so what happens here? Verse 22. Then said Elijah unto the people. Now this is where Elijah, and it is good for us to see this. He is a faithful servant of the Lord, is he not? Let's give him credit. He is faithful. Is he perfect? Not at all. Not at all. What made him enabled to glorify the Lord? The Lord did. So verse 22, then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. He says this, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. They were willing to do that. Now, how did Elijah know what the Lord was going to do? Did God tell him? The Lord sent him, right? But the truth is, Elijah had never seen it done before. But did he have faith to believe that God was going to do it? Why did he have faith? Because he trusted the Lord in all the other little things that were taking place in his life. See, we want to see, Lord, man, open up the windows of heaven. He says, walk with me. on your daily, in your day, you want to see the big things, walk with me in the little things. See, God needs to be able to trust us in the everyday things. We're imperfect, I dare say. There, no doubt, you're going to find this out. Ready? When you get to heaven, you're going to have some things dead wrong about the Lord. I will too. I will too. Was Elijah right? Was he the only one? The only one? No, he wasn't. But God still used him anyway. And God will still use us anyway. So it's important that we humbly walk with the Lord, knowing our frailty and our finite understanding, that even though God gives us light, may you and I call out for more light and more light and more light, because we need it. Amen. We need God's light in order to walk upright, or we will misstep. And by the way, what happened? He thought he was the only one. He thought he was going to die at the end. We're not going to go through the prophets of Baal and what happened. You know, I would challenge you to go on and read that. But then he went running, didn't he? Because he began to look to his own understanding. And it can happen to us. When we lean to our own understanding, fear will cause us to fail the Lord. And that's not what God wants for you and I. And so what we need is the word of the Lord to come to us and guide us in the everyday little things, that we might see the victory there, and then God can move us on to bigger battles and bigger victories. That's the way it works. God says, be faithful to me in the little things. Invest the talent that you have now. Here's what we know now. Jesus Christ saved us. Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship. If we will call upon him, he will give us many things to praise him for. If we will call upon him on a daily basis for all the little things in our life, we will have many things to praise him about on a daily basis. Many little things that he will overcome in our lives. Lord, show me how to be gentle and not self-centered. That is every one of our problems. Don't answer this. Do you get mad? I'll tell you why you get mad. Same reason I get mad. Because I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about me. And the moment I'm thinking about me, am I thinking about the Lord? I need help, don't I? So, Lord, I need you to help me that I'll think about you and see you work in my life and trust you to work in my life and that you will change my life to be like you, that you will give me that gentleness and that kindness. Nobody can do that for us but the Lord, and nobody can ask God of that but us for ourselves. And if we're not doing that, don't expect a change. And if you're happy with your life just the way it is, you will go backwards. If you're not moving forward, you're going to go backwards, spiritually speaking. You cannot just stand still in the Lord. It is a progression. If you're not progressing, mark it down, you will be doing less for the Lord. It's the way it works. It's the way it works. Ask yourself this question. Am I more excited about the Word of God today than I've ever been in my life? Am I more on fire? Am I telling more people about Jesus today than ever before? Because that's the way it ought. Am I praying and calling upon the Lord more? That's a vibrant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. To know that we need the Lord today more than ever before. Is the world getting better or worse? Oh boy, we need the Lord even more than ever before, don't we? Because the battle is growing, isn't it? And the enemy is becoming stronger. And we as a nation have allowed all kinds of wickedness in this nation. And if God's people are not calling upon the Lord, can we expect him to do anything? Will we hear from him? He says he's left it in our court. Call on me, and I will answer thee. That's his promise. Is he the same?
Yes.
Hasn't changed. And he says, I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not in our lives. He wants to show us great and mighty things. Whose great and mighty things? His. His great and mighty things. Here's the real question. Do we want it? This is revival. This is preparing. And I want to remind you, historically speaking, when these great revivals took place, do you know there was just a handful of people, handful of guys that got together, small group, handful, got together and prayed and called upon the Lord, but they meant business. Do you know that God knows when we mean business? And if we mean business with the Lord, I believe we'll see the Lord work like never before. If we mean business. Amen? Does God love us? Amen. More than we ever know. Is God, listen, isn't it amazing that God is saying, I still want to use you. I'm not done. And if you'll call on me, I've got great things. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for your great mercy and your great faithfulness. Lord, we are always in your hand. And amazingly, Lord, we are always on your mind. And Lord, you are faithful to love us. I don't understand that, but I thank you for it. And Lord, may you do a work in our hearts and minds that we would call upon you like never before. And ask you, Lord, to work in our everyday lives that we might see your hand. And that you would build our faith by your great faithfulness, Lord, in us and to us. Bless the invitation, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.